is good. Amen. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. I like that song. Amen. You guys like that song? That worship song? Did you sing it from your heart? Amen. So I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4. If you want to read along with me. Not John, 1 John. Chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Excuse me. I forgot to take my allergy pill this morning, so I've been coughing a lot. I have allergies in this house for some reason. Not at home as much as here, but must be the carpets. Everybody there? 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, this is John speaking to us this morning. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God is love. Verse 16. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother or sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Profound. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen. So today I'm going to be talking about God's nature. And in these verses, we see that, we already know, that God created you. God created us for a love relationship with him. He desires for you to love him. That's his desire. He desires for you to love him. And if you want to know God's will, you must respond to his invitation to love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. God works through those he loves to carry out his kingdom purposes in this world. He cannot do it without us. He needs us. Those who love him, he needs us to fulfill his purposes on this earth. And as you begin to think about knowing and doing God's will, you need to know who he is. Amen? So today we're going to look at three aspects of his nature. And each of these characteristics that we're going to briefly look at today will give you a special direction for you as you do his will. So the first is, God is love. God is love. His will is always best. According to 1 John 4:16, which I just read, it says, God is love. It doesn't say that God loves, though he does. And he loves with a perfect and unconditional love. The scripture says that his very nature is love. It's who he is. Never in your life will God ever express his will towards you, except that It is an expression of his love for you. He can't. There are some things that God can't do. And that is not heresy. It's the truth. And this is one of those things that he can't do. He can't ever not love you. That's a double negative. Don't do that. God's kind of love always seeks the very, very best for a person. And even his discipline is always based on love. Have you ever, parents in the room, have you ever, after disciplining your child, had them turn to you and respond to your discipline with these words? You don't love me. Yeah. Was it true? Did you all of a sudden in that moment stop loving your child? Oh, I'm a little bit worried. Huh? Did you stop loving your child in the process of disciplining them? No, it wasn't true. You did not stop loving them. Your love had not changed. At that moment in time, though, your love was expressing itself differently than your child wanted you to express it. And the same is true of God. In Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 6, it says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you.'" Okay, got that? Don't give up when he corrects you. "For the Lord disciplines those he loves." That's right. He disciplines those he loves. "And he punishes each one he accepts as his child." Did you have punishments for your children? Am I the only one who was punished as a child? Now, hold on a second, though. In my day, it was the wooden spoon. Yeah. Yeah. My mom would run to that drawer in the kitchen, and she would shake that drawer real good, and I knew the spoon was coming out, and she would chase me. And then as I got older, she would chase my brother and myself, and I have a picture in my head right at this very moment of Brian and I running around the kitchen table, and Mom chasing us. And we're going round and around and around. Yeah, she still loved me. But you know what? There's consequences to our actions, right? Discipline sometimes requires punishment. And there's two other verses that describe God's love towards us. John 3:16. Let's hear it. Exactly. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only. And in 1 John 3:16, interesting, 3:16, this is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That is how we know God's love. Jesus laid down his life for us. Your trust in the love nature of God as you walk out this life on earth is vital. No matter what the circumstances are in your life, God's love never changes. The cross, the death of Jesus Christ, and his resurrection are God's final, total, and complete expression that he loves us. Have you ever heard someone say something like this? "You know, I'm really afraid to surrender my life completely to the Lord because he just might send me to Africa as a missionary." Or for whatever other reason, you know, we make up a myriad of excuses why we just don't want to completely surrender our lives to Christ because he might do this. Happened to me and Ken. When you hear a statement like that, maybe you have even made that statement yourself, it actually indicates a lack of trust and understanding of the love of God. You see, God wouldn't call you to Africa unless he knew that such a call would be the best thing for you. Okay? He loves you. Never allow your heart to question the love of God. He created you for that love relationship. Every dealing he has with you is an expression of his love for you. And your relationship with God right now, okay? Your relationship with God right now reveals what you believe about him. It is spiritually impossible for you to believe one way and practice another. You either love him or you don't. God's commands are expressions of his love nature. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 says this: What does the Lord your God ask of you? What does he ask of you, church family here at Gateway Church? What is he asking of you? He's asking you to fear him, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul. That's a command from Scripture. That's what he requires of us. Speaking of walking, did you see Emerson? He's walking. What a little champ. How old is he now? 13 months? I don't know when kids are supposed to walk, but he looks kind of tiny to be walking. Like, it's amazing. He was down and he stood right up and then he started walking. That's so awesome. Who's next? Aiden. I think Aiden is going to be next. He's walking. Oh, so awesome. Zion, he's got a little bit of time to go, but anyway. Oh, Fallon. Fallon's going to be walking soon. She's only like 3.5 months old or so, 4 months. And when Dave holds her, she like goes like little teeny weeny baby steps like this. She looks so cute. Anyway, she's going to be walking, not next month, but you know, it's coming. Anyways, where am I? Walking. That's what he requires of us, to walk with him. Sometimes we need to do little baby steps, right? But we need to be moving. When God gives you a command, he's trying to protect, okay? Listen to this carefully. When he gives you a command, it is for your good. He is trying to protect you. He is trying to preserve your life. He wants the very best for you. When God gives a command, he is not restricting you. Au contraire, he is freeing you. It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? So often we look at God's commands in scriptures and we take it on as something that's going to bind us up and restrict us. But the opposite is true. His commands actually give us freedom. God has given his commands so that you may live life to its fullest measure. Yes, you can say amen anytime. Are you in agreement? All right. However, you won't obey him and his commands if you don't believe him and trust him. And you can't believe and trust him if you don't love him. And you can't love him unless you know him. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If, however, you really come to know him as he reveals himself to you, the natural outflow of that will be that you will love him. And if you love him, you will believe and trust him. And if you believe and trust him, you will obey him. Trust. Trust and obey. How does that song go? That just popped into my head. Sing it. Trust and obey. To be. That was, come on, let's sing that. Come on. I want to hear it. Come on. Trust and obey. Okay, you can tell the ones that have been in church longer than the other ones, right? Yeah. Trust and obey. Okay, so what was my first point again? Hold on, I got to backtrack. God is love. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Secondly, God is all-knowing. His directions are always right. By his very nature, God is omniscient. What does that mean? Nope. He knows all things. That's right. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There is nothing on this planet, in the atmospheres above us, in the heavens, in the universe, and the galaxies, blah, 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 that is beyond his knowledge. He knows it all. He's omniscient. There's a good theological term for you. When God gives you a directive, you can count on the fact that God has already thought about every detail that must be thought about. You'll never follow a directive that God has given and find out later that he was mistaken. I remember in our first 2 years of ministry, after Bible college, in our first years of ministry, we were in another church down south. And I had a little bit of a challenge there. And I thought, I'd say, God, what were you thinking calling me into ministry? Yeah, I'm not going to go into details because they are sordid and ugly. No, they're not. But, you know, we have challenges. But you work it through, and you come to the end, and you realize, you know what? God was right. He knows what he's doing. I don't always know. You don't always know. Have you ever asked God to give you several alternatives so that you can choose the one that's best for you? Uh-huh. How many options does God have to give you so that you will have the right one? Come on now. Come on now. As you seek to know and do God's will, you will want to wait before him until you clearly know his will and his direction for carrying it out. Human wisdom and knowledge won't be enough, but God's wisdom and his knowledge are always, always, always enough. And even when his will for our lives doesn't make sense from our human perspective, our obedience will reveal that he was right. Because he loves you perfectly. He loves you perfectly. You can trust him and you can obey him completely. Oops. Thirdly, God is all-powerful. Oops. God is omnipotent. Okay, what does that mean? Yes, he is all-powerful. He can accomplish anything that he intends to do. I went to scratch my face, and then I knocked this out, so I think I'm a little bit loud right now. He can accomplish anything that he intends for you to do. If he ever asks you to do something, he himself will enable you to do it. And there are multiple examples from Scripture of him calling out different individuals and enabling them, equipping them to do what he asked them to do. Take Noah and his sons, for example. God enabled them to build a huge boat that spared the life of every animal species during the Great Flood. That's pretty good, huh? God enabled Gideon and 300 men to defeat an army of 120,000. God is able. Jesus Christ enabled his 12 disciples to heal people and to cast out demons. Come on now. That's power. God enabled them. God enabled Paul to carry the gospel to the Gentiles and establish churches throughout Asia Minor and all the way to Rome, all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, all the way to North America, all the way to Canada, all the way to Ontario, all the way to North Bay, all the way to Gateway. Wow. God is able. When your life is in the middle of God's activity, he will start rearranging a lot of your thinking. God's ways and thoughts are so different from our thoughts that they will very often sound wrong to us. They will sound crazy. They will sound impossible. But when you realize that the task isn't humanly possible, you need to be ready to believe God and to trust him completely. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Amen? You need to believe that he will enable and equip you to do everything that he asks of you. That word equip on Wednesday night in the boiler room back here, that word came up quite a bit. I better not go there because Ken might go there sometime and I don't want to. Does anybody, are you sure? Does anybody here have the tendency to focus on your weaknesses? Who here has the tendency to focus on your weaknesses? Well, I can't do that because blah, blah, blah. Come on now. Come on now. Yeah, okay, as you're thinking about it, you're going, yeah, that's me, okay? All right. So we talked about that quite a bit on Wednesday night. The fact that we tend to focus on our weaknesses. And all of you that didn't raise your hand, there are moments, I'm sure, where you do focus on your weaknesses from time to time. Not that you always do, but I think we're all apt to do that. I'm a big one for that. We need to make a shift to begin to focus on our strengths. Because even in our weaknesses, God can do great and mighty things. But if we wallow in our weaknesses, that has the tendency to limit us from taking the step to believe, to trust, and to obey the Father. So we need to make a shift and begin to think about our strengths. And we went around the room on Wednesday night and asked everybody, what are your strengths? And it was like, I could list 10 weaknesses, but my strengths? I want you to do that, okay? This is your homework for the week. Spend some time with the Lord and ask him what your strengths are. And in that process, allow yourself to recognize things that he has declared over your life, things that he has asked you to do that you haven't done because you backtrack back into your weaknesses all the time. Okay? It's time, people. If we all operated in our strengths and trusted God, this place would explode. I don't know why I went there, but, oh yes, here it is. You need to believe that God will enable and equip you. It was that word equip that got me off on that little bunny trail. Our purpose as pastors is to equip the saints. And sometimes it's a bit of a challenge for us as pastors when people remain in their weaknesses. And it's like, you know those little hamster wheels where the hamster goes around and around and around and around and around and around? You know, sometimes we as humans can be like that too. We focus on our weaknesses and we just keep going round and around and around. And we never get shot off that wheel. Just picture that. That would look funny. And begin to function in our strengths. So we're willing to shift into that type of a paradigm where we can move from using you as an example. It's okay, dear. You'll get over it. No worries. Yeah, I know. I'll be praying for you. Yes. We need to move out of that as pastors and leaders and move into a place where, you know what? Oh, that's your weakness. Well, you know what? You know what your strength is? You hear the voice of God. When you speak, the word of the Lord comes out of your mouth. You know the scriptures. That is an awesome strength in you. You're a worshiper of the King. Okay, we need to start encouraging one another by speaking truth of the strength in our brothers and sisters' lives, right? Kevin, you are a mighty man of God. I have watched God transform you over the last dozen years or so since you've come into the kingdom. And he has risen you to a place where his love has pushed out fear, and he has planted you in a place where you're going to be leading a connect group for the first time. And you know what? I'm proud of you. That is awesome. He's a good man. He can be a brat, but he's a good man. Shayla, you just finished nursing school. You are now, you may not have the paperwork and all that stuff written out in the palm of your hand, but you are now Nurse Shayla. You have travailed for how many years? You have travailed for a couple of years through studies. You've had opportunity to go into different situations where you're able to practice what you've been learning. And you have such a heart of compassion for people, as the different stories that you've shared with me over time. You love people. You love God and you love people. And you have such a compassion for people. And he has chosen a good person to be his nurse. Amen. Okay? Now, she may have weaknesses, thinking like, you know what? Am I really equipped to be a nurse? I have the head knowledge, I have the heart, but the practical, you know? I'm sure she's going through a little bit of a struggle with weaknesses, but you know what? We draw out the strengths. Amen? God has called you. Nursing is a calling. I tell you, I could not be a nurse. God has called you. Let's not go into those details, okay? So we want to move into a phase where we are equipping. I could probably go to every person, most people, and speak on a strength in your life. We need to do that to one another. Right? On a Sunday, instead of during greeting time, instead of going, oh, my week, I'm so tired, it was awful, it was like, you know? Let's encourage one another. Focus on strengths. Amen? Equip one another. It's not just up to Ken and I to be equippers. You can equip one another. Don't try to second-guess him. Just let God be God in your life. Trust him for the needed power, for the needed insight, the skill, and the resources. He will equip you. He will provide you with all you need. Did you get that? He will provide you with all of you need. God will begin to make himself known to you very simply, as he would to a child. And as you respond to him in a simple childlike trust, you will find a whole new way of looking at life begin to unfold for you. Your life will be fulfilling as you trust and obey. You will never have to sense an emptiness or a lack of purpose if you trust and obey. When you have him, you have everything that there is. Do you have him? Do you have him operating in your life? Some people do. Do you have him? Do you have him? Then you have everything that you need. As he was to Moses, he will be to you. The I am that I am. If you have him, you have everything you need. Obedience, excuse me, I'm just going to hit main points that I just talked about. Obedience is the outward expression of your love for God. If you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. God is love. His will is always best. God is all-knowing. His directions are always right. He is all-powerful. He can enable you to do his will. All of God's commands are expressions of his nature of love. When God gives a commandment, he's not restricting you, he is freeing you. If you love him, you will obey him. Close your eyes for a minute, will you? If you want to encounter his love, put your hand up, please. If you want to encounter the love of God, put your hand up. Father, you can put your hands down now. Actually, I'm going to ask something else. Everybody's keep your eyes closed because this is private moments between people and God, okay? This is not for everybody to see. Perhaps something that you heard today twigged something in your heart. And perhaps you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I don't want to miss an opportunity to invite somebody into the kingdom of God today. So if you sensed the Holy Spirit, you might not even know it was the Holy Spirit, but if you sensed something in you stirring up, if you felt your heart going a little bit faster, if you thought, oh my goodness, that is true, I understand it. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, would you just raise your hand for me? Thank you. Father, you saw those hands that were raised today. There are new names written down in the Lamb's Book of Glory. Today is your spiritual birthday. He has you here today for a reason, so that you can become his child. Amen. I want to talk to you at the end for a moment. So perhaps you've, you know, given your heart to Jesus, you've received Jesus as your Savior, but you've been kind of, you know, not really walking closely to him. And you want to make that recommitment to him. You want to say, yes, Jesus, I want to walk as your child once again. Would you please put up your hand? Thank you. Trust him and obey him. Amen. Would you just stand for a moment, please? You want to encounter his love today? I challenge you to come to the altar. Put feet to your words, actions to your raised hand. I challenge you to come to the altar today if you want to encounter his love. And Dan's going to put that song on for me. You want to encounter his love? Come to the altar and tell him. Take that step. Trust and obey. Amen. If you need to go, go. Be blessed. Have an awesome week.